Are you afraid of the dark?
No.
I'm kinda, because once I really hurt my nose when I fell.
Sometimes.
I'm not afraid of the dark. I just kinda used to it.
I'm not afraid of the dark.
I'm not afraid of the dark.
No, not really, to be honest, actually. It's funny because I grew up in Chicago, where it's very, very obviously bright, and I never got to really see that much of the night sky, and I would always watch TV shows and think, wow, that's really cool.
Well, there's a group of kids we met in Mayo who'd like to encourage all of us to embrace the dark. But what exactly does that mean?
Well, it's kind of like, don't be afraid of the dark, just like, be comfortable and don't be worried about anything in the dark, except cars.
Good tip. Welcome back to Ecolution. We've been away for longer than intended, but we're returning bigger and better than ever. Just to refresh your memories, I'm Evie Kenny, and I'm the host of the show, a podcast that wants to put climate and nature first and give people doing amazing work for our environment the stage they deserve. We're also launching a YouTube version at the same time. Swish! There, we'll discuss the issues raised in the show with a panel of young people who really know their stuff. You can watch on the RTE Kids YouTube. But enough admin, on with the show! As you may have guessed, today's show is all about the nighttime. When the sun goes down, we humans go to bed and rest. But increasingly, the spaces where we live remain lit by artificial light. Some is, of course, important. But have we gone too far?
I'm Georgia and I'm the Mayo.Sky Park Development Officer. We need to remind ourselves that we've gone a little bit too far in lighting our world. At the moment, we're sort of going towards 24/7 in daytime. So we need to rebalance that and have daytime and nighttime. So it's just as important as light to have a little bit of darkness so we can reset our own biological clocks, but also so we can allow nature to do the same and our natural world.
Wild Neffin National Park in County Mayo is located in a stunning part of the country, and one that, due to its wild makeup, offers natural habitat for all kinds of flora and fauna.
Wild Neffin National Park is 15,000 hectares of mostly Atlantic blanket bog, stretching from the top of the mountains right down to the sea shoreline. And we also have a habitat restoration project going on what was formerly conifer plantation that the National Parks and Wildlife took over. So there's a lot of restoration work going on within the park. We're on a little site that's kind of a model here for the habitat restoration, and the guides have the visitor centre here to explain what's going on. But further into the park, where the mountainous area is and where the darkest part of the dark sky park is, you have mountains and trails, forest trails and walking trails, and of course the intact blanket bog.
My name is Sinead Gawhan. I'm from Ballymullet and I've been working in Ballycroy Visitor Centre for nearly 3 years now as a visitor guide, but I've just transitioned over to the dark sky team. So the park was actually bought in 1998 for conservation purposes, primarily for ground nesting birds. It's a mountain range, the Neffin Beg Mountain Range, and it's in the middle of a huge bog called the Owen Duff Bog Complex. And really, it's because of that bog that we have a dark sky, because no one can live in a bog, so we don't have any light pollution.
The other positive about the park is that it has been designated as an official dark sky park.
Well, this national park has transitioned really over time. The visitor centre was opened in 2009. Dark sky wasn't even like a thought at the time. And then it got its accreditation in 2016. August Mori Yermage to Lat in the park at Thoration Dirchus. Half the park is after dark. So during the day you can walk outside, you know, daytime walking, and then at night time you can go stargazing or walking in the park at night. So there is a route up in Letterkeen. It's the orange route, the Very Loop, and that's where the dark sky walks happen every Friday night at 8 o'clock in the wintertime.
Well, we wanted to experience that other half of the park. Back in late January this year, Ecolution arrived at the visitor centre one evening to find it packed with local scout and girl guide groups, all gathered to take a safely managed leap into darkness. But what does the dark mean to most of us?
more work at night time.
Like,
when you're outside at night, it will be very dark and you might not be able to see. It sounds like it's going to be really dark.
I watched this movie. I say it's somehow related to the Grim Reaper.
Kind of means like you can't see, very like blue, silver, what comes to my mind.
I would think embracing all of your senses in a different way is extremely important, right? I think we use our ability to see so much more than a lot of our other senses. So when you take that ability away, it really allows you to utilize your senses, really, just being able to utilize all those different things. So I think it's just really important.
To me, it's respite, it's tranquility, it's a place to rest. I mean, we're on this planet and we've evolved with natural day and natural night, so we need the night and the dark as much as we need the day and the light. I really need it.
And one group of young people who totally get the importance of embracing the dark is the Night Owls.
I'm Irla.
I'm Owen.
I'm Terence.
I'm Lorcan.
And we are the Night Owls.
We do stuff about the dark and about fires and safety in the dark and stuff. Terence asked me would I do it, and I said yeah.
Well, I just wanted to have a bit of fun and learn about the dark skies and how important it is to people. It's important for biodiversity and stuff.
We're doing it in memory of Riyadh, which he really likes Star Wars, so we brought over this lightsaber. In here you have a light, but you put a blue tint over it, so it only lights up what needs to be lighted. And Riyadh was in my class as well, and he was a good friend.
The person who helped the Night Owls get started was Martina.
My name is Martina Killian. I'm from South Sligo. I have a little farm there. I always loved nature, but I never had a qualification. So I went to do the outdoor education course in ATU Mayo. And everything went from there. I started a small business called Nature Inspires. And it was really amazing how the community actually took to the business. So I started to do nature camps. And I usually have 6 nature camps all summer long with 20, 25 kids in it. What we do is actually the kids are leading the whole camp. You know, we stroll around, we observe things, we explore an awful lot. And where I live, it's quite untouched nature as well. So you have bog, you have forests, you have a bit of woodland. And it's all outdoors and kids never really mind weather or anything at all when they are outside.
She's very helpful and she puts into a lot of effort into what she does, because I think it helps them like know what's really outside the cities and houses, because like a lot of people wouldn't really see that inside cities.
Well, if you're like around cars and stuff, you might need a high-vis and a headlamp. Just beware when you're crossing roads.
But not all of us have the opportunity to reconnect with our wild spaces.
Unfortunately, I think kids don't get enough connection with nature anywhere. Even on the countryside, you know, we have become kind of very comfortable inside our houses. So that's also what dark sky is about. Why not exploring nature at nighttime sometimes? You know, going out even in your back garden, trying to find out what animals are visiting your garden at nighttime. Are there bats in the area? What moths are there? And then also the problem with light pollution as well, you know, that we reduce our outdoor lighting as well.
Okay, so just to explain, light pollution is the artificial light that we use to illuminate our homes, our gardens, our towns and roads. And of course, we can't turn them all off. But what happens to nature when we let the lights go out?
Yeah, we just we allow nature to be itself, as we're on, you know, a planet that turns around and has day and night cycles. So, you know, we let nocturnal wildlife come out at night and not change its habitats or its food sources or its predation routes. So some species are more drawn to light. So when we have too many lights, now we're taking perhaps moths and invertebrates out of the normal place where they would be into an artificial area, and therefore other food sources, now the ecosystems are a little bit upset. So bats might be more drawn to lights, and some, most bats actually are very light sensitive, but there are some that have adapted to become less light sensitive, so they now will feed at light sources. So we've kind of upset the ecosystem by putting too much artificial light where it's not needed.
And that's something the night owls experience firsthand.
It's been a lovely experience. We get to see lots of animals like pine martens, badgers, foxes, because we set up the camera at night, so we do. And we find lots of different animals and we see how they live their days and all the funny bits there too. We put them up at night and it'd usually take about 3 days, I think. But it'd be well worth it for the footage to see. Martina put up a bit of food for the birds, but a pine marten came along and tried to get it. And he was so close to get it, but he fell down.
I actually never knew what a pine marten was until I seen the camera. Kind of inspires me for drawing stuff and it lets me see animals.
Sometimes I feel I can't set it up everywhere. For example, we have this fairy fort behind our house, and actually I wouldn't set up the camera in the fairy fort. Why would I not set it up in the fairy fort?
Because the fairies might like it and they don't like to be watched that much.
Absolutely. Very good answer.
We live in Sligo, so we do, Ox Mountains. I'd say it'd be the wildest place in Ireland, though. All the other counties, they'd have big cities, but we'd only have like Sligo Town and all that. I'd say untouched land, overgrown and all that would be part of nature for me. We have a good bit of it, but I think we might need a bit more.
And I think we have to respect those places.
We like exploring the woods at dark. It's fun, and you'll be able to do a bit of messing around in it, and you learn about different bits of biodiversity and stuff.
One night I put the camera into the forest, and then the next day I could hear a shout, a scream. I never heard anything like it. Somebody who I showed it, they said, oh, that was the banshee. I sent it to some ecologists because it obviously was an animal, but nobody really could settle on the screech or on the noise. So sometimes when you put up the camera, it can be actually quite spooky. Sometimes I see something going hush, like as fast as no animal can run. So you never know what you find at nighttime out there.
Ooh, spooky. Well, our intrepid group now had to experience this for themselves. So we tromped out along the walkway as the sun dipped below the horizon. Watch your step.
I'm Molly O'Grady. I am a visitor guide at the Wildlife National Park, and I work in the Mayo Dark Sky Park. When you get a clear sky, even those nights where you can't see the stars and it's complete darkness, you really get that sense of being in complete darkness and what it must have felt like for our ancestors who didn't have light pollution, you know. They were adapted to those types of conditions, and the more we're on computers and iPads and have lights, the less we're getting that same feeling and being comfortable in the dark too, right? Our ancestors are probably a lot more comfortable than we are now.
So just make sure you guys are keeping your eyes up because you do have some stars coming out.
See that big right behind you?
Yeah, I think it's a planet. Yeah.
Venus.
It's definitely not
Venus.
North.
Venus, very bright.
And then there's a star close to it as well. That's quite bright. That's hardly another planet, is it?
That's Saturn, I think, is very close to Venus.
A bright star over there. Maybe it's a planet over there.
I think I see a real constellation. It's like the Big Dipper right there. My eyesight gets ready in like 2 minutes. I'm used to dark.
But I can't really see the corners, so I can't see
them. It's a bit fainter.
I'd say the luckiest thing you can see would probably be a black hole in real life.
I see like a green planet up there. Do you see it up there? I see the green planet, but it went behind the clouds. It was all green, bright green.
How many constellations do you think there are in the sky?
30.
The question is still on.
2 million.
Lower.
80.
Close, 88.
That's
bad.
How did you know that?
Wow, did you just pull that out of your head?
I know. So how many stars are there?
There's so many.
Yeah. And they're finding more all the time because, you know, by the time you're my age, which is a very, very long time away yet,
might know how many stars there are.
Besides the park employees guiding us, the night owls themselves had a really important role on the night, sharing just some of what they've learned with the assembled crowd.
Where is our night owl presenter? Terrence, can you raise your hand for us? Oh, can anybody see that hand in the dark? Yeah, you can. Wow, that means your eyes must be adjusting.
Well, I've been looking at astronomy and the stars and how the light affects being able to see them and what the stars have meant to people in the past. For example, like there was no calendars years ago, so they had to use the stars to know what time of year it was, and they had to use the stars to find where they were going. Like if you could look at the North Star and it never moves, so you know that's north. And judging by other constellations where they are in the sky, you can tell what time of year it is. People used to always use the stars to know when to plant vegetables and when to harvest. There's a constellation called the Plough. It always points to the North Star, but it can be in different positions throughout the year. So it could be in a different position in springtime than it is in wintertime. The lights have a very bad impact on the stars, because if you go into a city, it's not very easy to see the stars because of the lights shining up into the sky. You can't see them very well. The light kind of blocks the view. There's a constellation called Orion's Belt. It's only visible towards springtime. If that's there, you know that it's time to start planting vegetables. It's interesting to know what kind of stars are in the sky and all the constellations.
Terence was happy to field questions too.
How does the light pollute the sky?
If the light is faced upwards, you can't see the stars as clearly because the sky is brighter and it makes the stars look more faint, so you can't see them as well.
So you'll notice as we're walking around the pond, you see these very small lights, right? Those lights are actually shielded so that they aren't blaring up into the sky. And that's because what happens is when the light goes up towards the sky, it creates sky glow. So if you've ever been to Dublin or to a major city, you'll notice where there's a lot of lights, the sky is really, really bright. And what that's actually doing is it's blocking your ability to see the night sky.
Not all of us have control over light pollution, but the more we know, the more we can act.
The public are very interested once they get to know the information. So that's why we put on as many events as possible, giving them more information about how important it is to maybe adjust a little bit the lighting on your premises so that we can maintain the skies as dark as possible.
And one of the night owls was keen to help teach us more.
It now it's darker.
It is, you're right, it's getting darker. Okay, so we're going to have Owen. Owen, you over there?
I'm Owen, and I worked on the lights. As you see around the park, you have those orange lights, which are very good because we call them warm lights. Warm lights are better than the cold lights, white or blue. The cold lights would actually attract moths, and that would be very bad for the bats because the bats would then not have anything to eat, so that might cause them to go extinct now. We put up a white sheet, so we did, and we got a white light, and the amount of moths that were there was a bit unreal. So there was a good few now, so there was. Like the lights around the path, you only see the path that you need to see. You don't see, like, over out in Tubbercurry. Out at my house, if you look out at night, you would see about 3 Gaelic pitches at once, and you'd see this big white glare. It's not very nice to see now.
But in the dark sky park, the sky was clear and the stars were out, and Georgia had brought a special laser pointer to guide us in the sky. Just to say, it looked genuinely very cool as it shot a perfect shaft of light into space.
Did you see this shape here?
Yeah.
Sometimes we call it the saucepan.
What would you call it?
Plough, was it?
The plough, yeah. A constellation, it's part of a bigger constellation. If you look, so yes, the saucepan is that shape, but it really is much bigger than that. It goes out here, and there's legs here. Anyone guess what it's called?
Big Dipper.
Big Dipper is another name, or the formal name is Ursa Major, the giant bear in the sky. And why is it really helpful, do you know?
Because at the end of it, the two stars at the end point directly to the North Star.
So these two stars, Dubhe and Merrick, are the stars that we use to find our way to the North Star, which is that star there. Well, the North Star is useful because people used to navigate by the stars, so it's right over north. It's also the only star that doesn't really move. It's like the centre of a clock face. So all of these circumpolar constellations around go round and around all night, because that star Polaris, or the North Star, is positioned right over our North Pole. So our axis is pointing towards it. You've got your hand up there. What?
I see a moving star.
You see a moving star?
Like it's
it could be a satellite. There's a nice one overhead. You see that shape? Can I point it out? So what county are we in?
Mayo.
So there's a giant M for Mayo. So that's also known as Cassiopeia. And if you have really good imagination, you can clearly see that it's a lady sitting in a chair, looking at them in the mirror and admiring her own beauty. Mm. Isn't it?
No. I see cloud.
I mean, we're lucky because, and the night owls are lucky being in Sligo, because we can see the stars, because we haven't yet had too much encroachment of light pollution. But so many young people around Ireland can't see what we can see at the moment, because even yesterday I was in Dublin and you just can't see it because light pollution has taken over the sky, which is a pity because so many young people were inspired to get into science and arts and music by looking at the stars. So we're really hoping, our motto is to help young people name more stars in the sky than stars on the screen, which I think is a nice aspiration, and hopefully you will, guys.
I think I see a heart in the sky. Yeah, like, it's right above me.
Well, you know, these constellations are just shapes that people think they saw, so we could name a new constellation for you if you like.
If I would call a star something, it would be Mayo. Newport is the best. Twinkle, twinkle, little.
General Munchkins, man.
Up Mayo.
Peanut butter.
Alisa found that.
And I also have one more question.
Go on.
How does the green laser thing work?
I don't know. Anyone tell me how the green laser thing works? That's a mystery.
Where did you get it?
That's definitely a secret.
Please tell me, I need one.
I think it was a Jedi Knight that gave it to me. And, so I had to fight him for it, though. I had to fight him for it.
So it's a makeshift lightsaber. Oh, I have a question. It's still about the green laser.
Sorry, I brought it.
If you're pointing that at a star, would it infinitely go until it hits the star?
So we don't know, because we can, maybe in 10,000 years there'll be a little Martian somewhere going, ouch, pointing because the light's pointing. Because light travels, it's a really good question, because light travels. Do we know how fast light travels?
1,000,000 kilometres per hour.
There's another hand up there.
Infinity kilometres per hour.
300,000 miles a second.
I think it's kilometres a second, but that's close enough. So 300,000 kilometres a second. There's a star called Vega, which I think is that one, which is 25 light years away from us. So 25 years it has taken for the light from that star that we're looking at to reach our eyes here on Earth. So that's another reason why if we put artificial light, or too much artificial light and light pollution here, we're casting a veil of wasted light in front of beautiful light that's taken up to thousands of years in some cases to reach our little eyeballs. And we're going back in time, so when we look at the stars, we're time traveling, because that's 25 years ago.
Seeing the stars spread out above us at Wild Nefyn was an incredible experience, and one I'd hope everyone could share. Very sadly, only a couple of weeks ago, part of the walkway we hiked along was set on fire, causing really extensive damage to it and the habitat it wound through. It was a tragic reminder of how humans can affect our environment in so many ways, very bad and very good, of how fragile these ecosystems are and why it's so important we safeguard them, for the day and also for the night. The path will be mended, and after time the landscape around will recover. But it is timely that one of the night owls, Lorcan, wanted to speak out about the dangers of fire when camping or out in nature. And the scouts and guides there also had some very important tips.
Since we can't light a fire in the national park, we have this lovely little stone fire, I should say, or quartz fire. And so we're going to have, who's up next for night owls? Lorcan.
So when you're lighting a fire, be careful when you're lighting it. Make sure that there's no wind that it could catch, like grass, and like clear out the spot where you're making the fire. Make sure when you're done with it, quench it out properly. Like you can talk around the fire, and you can just play games or sing a song or like play the guitar and have fun around the fire, but just be very careful as well.
What was your favourite thing to cook on the fire?
Marshmallows.
There should be a very clear space between the fire and any like trees or grass or anything that might catch on fire.
If you're doing a fire, you can't touch the fire.
We put the fire on so then we could keep warm outside when you're outdoors, like if you're camping or something like that.
Make sure that an adult or a grown-up is around you if you're lighting a fire.
But not all grown-ups are that sensible.
Night Owls is just one small project, but it's one that the boys and girls involved have gotten so much out of.
My name is Leanne and I'm Lachlan's mum. He got a great sense of confidence out of doing Night Owls from even the whole experience of putting together the project and the presentation, and Martina and Aideen helped them, you know, were doing the work, and the knowledge that they learnt then about the dark skies and sharing it, and it wasn't just classroom based, they were outside, they were in nature, and they had great fun.
My name's Aideen and I'm Terence's mother. I'm very interested in nature myself and I want my kids to have that exposure. We are farmers as well, and we just be very respectful of the resources we have, and that wish more people would just try and learn to look after them. So I want my kids to be part of that. I come from the country, but I didn't know anything about the importance of dark skies. I took it for granted, but we've learned an awful lot as parents as well through the project, and they just love being outside. They just loved it, you know. They're not interested so much in the table work and planning, but they loved being out in the woods and up in the bog in the dark. Yeah, it was lovely.
And the crowd gathered had an incredible time too.
It was very fun up here.
Oh, I thought it was great.
We learned a lot about stars.
The star in Orion's belt is Betelgeuse. Betelgeuse, Betelgeuse, Betelgeuse.
It's really cool walking around in the dark and you don't have any light, so your eyes kind of get used to it. Well, I've seen bats. And I've seen a badger before.
I learned that there is a North Star. I think it was brilliant, yeah. You can see the sky much better if you turn the lights off. And light pollution has taken over in a lot of cities, so it's lovely to see it here.
I liked when we were learning about the lights, about like the warm lights and the bright lights.
I love the stars. I mean, we're here outside the centre looking up. We've got a super night, and I mean, we're so blessed to have this beautiful sky above our heads.
Thanks so much to the team at Wild Neffin National Park, Ireland's dark sky park. They worked so hard to gather this amazing bunch of kids and adults to share in celebrating the night sky, the darkness, and the space it offers nature. We wish them so much luck in getting the place back on track, so as more people can enjoy it just as we did. To find out more, head to mayodarkskypark.ie. And that's it for our first show back. Don't forget to check out the YouTube discussion on this episode on the RTE Kids YouTube channel. It'll be up around the same time as this. I'm not afraid of the dark, but we did ask our assembled crowd if they'd make some of the scariest noises they could think of. Night all.
Hi! Rawr, I'm a lion, I'm gonna eat you.
Boo.
Have you paid your taxes?
I think that's all.
Ecolution is produced by Nikki Coughlin and presented by me, Evie Kenny. And remember, wherever you can, turn the lights off and embrace the dark.